Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Bigs joins us now in the Aturo Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and a man we both call friend. He is our buddy and our guy, Bigsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we got a game. There's a big game tomorrow. It's going to be fun to see the Bears get back out there, but we learned yesterday that not really, not everybody, and we've been speculating a little bit this morning on who would have to play, why he said that the majority won't, but not that the majority of the starters won't be playing, but there will be some, and he didn't identify them. And the some, we're wondering, is this all about sort of just the operation? Like, do you consider the punter a starter? Does he not have to hold if he's going to be the holder?
I think you could maybe see Jaquan Brisker out there, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't played yet in preseason. Kyler Gordon looked really good the other day. He hasn't played a ton, but he looks ready to go, so I don't know that you would need to run him out there. Maybe Tyreek Stevenson, who hasn't played a ton in preseason, but he probably could have said that the vast majority of starters will not play in the game. You know, I look at on the offensive side, if he was healthy, I'm sure they'd love to see Ryan Bates do a little something, but you know, he hasn't practiced yet this week, which would seem to indicate that he won't be available Thursday night. You're not going to run offensive linemen, I don't think, out there. If Caleb's not out there, and we know Caleb isn't going to play, there's positively no reason to have the skill position guys that are frontline players out there. So I think, you know, you can rule out basically all the offensive guys. you know, on defense, linebackers are primed and ready to go. Defensive line, yeah, I could see maybe a secondary guy or two playing a little bit. That would be about it in my mind.
For the sake of argument, if Nate Davis has not solidified himself as your starting right guard, what is that conversation like? What's the thought process entail about whether or not he should play against the Chiefs?
Well, I think the thought process there is you've talked about having these three guys compete for two positions with Nate Davis, Ryan Bates, and Coleman Shelton. And if you've got one of them out injured currently in Ryan Bates, I believe he has a shoulder issue, do you want to risk having potentially a second one out in Nate Davis with you know, a little more than a week to go to the start of the regular season? I think that's the flip side of that, and I think the flip side would win. Like, I don't think they're going to roll him out there.
So Nate Davis, you know, Dustin felt he didn't play well enough, and as punishment, he should play, if not any other reason.
Maybe didn't play great. The guy's missed a lot of camp. He's played an awful lot of football. I mean, it's preseason. I had a guy mailbag question this morning, just basically was, you know, thinks that the offensive line could be horrendous this season. And I'm looking at it like, well, if the quarterback's just slightly better in terms of playing on time and in rhythm, like you know, such a big part of offensive football is timing. And the Bears haven't had good timing on offense in a long time. If the quarterback can just be a little bit better in that regard, the offensive line could be the same as it was last season, and it's going to look significantly better. Mm-hmm. Because the ball's coming out on time. I'm not trying to defend Nate Davis. He certainly hasn't played up to the contract to this point. But I think we need to judge him by what they're doing in the regular season.
My sense would be that Thursday night then gives the Bears an opportunity, or maybe even a mandate, to find their punt returner. Who is going to be the person? Wow. It's a big role. It's something that gets often overlooked until you're in the fourth quarter and somebody muffs a fumble and it costs you a possession and you lose a game.
Yeah. A couple of us out of practice yesterday were kicking that question around. I think it'll be DeAndre Carter. And DeAndre Carter, you know, had the hit along the sideline at Buffalo where he comes out of the game, then returns to the game, and then we didn't see him all that week between the game against the Bills and the game against Cincinnati. Carter has been back out of practice. He's got more experience doing it than all the rest of the guys. He's averaged in his career 9.8 yards per punt return. I think if you ask Richard Hightower right now if he'd be happy with his entire collection of return men averaging 9.8 this season, he'd say absolutely. He'd take it in a heartbeat. You're getting a first down every time your punt returner returns the ball at that rate. So I think it's him. We certainly know it's not going to be Velus Jones. Dante Pettis has been relatively sure-handed, doesn't give you a lot of juice. Josh Blackwell did punt returning a little bit in his career at Duke, hasn't done it in the NFL. I think it's DeAndre Carter, guys.
Brad, I'm very curious about Kieran Amagachi, and you know, we talked to Dave Wannstedt yesterday, and Dave said if he's capable of doing it, I'd play him the whole game. He just said that a guy like that who hasn't played, who has missed all this time, could really benefit from just getting on the field and being asked to play. I don't know if they're still in kind of a ramp-up period or how that would work, but I found that an interesting comment from Dave.
Yeah, if he's physically to the point where he can handle a game, I would expect to see him out there against the Chiefs. He just got on the practice field Monday,
right. So
it's possible they don't have him out there. And if he is, I'd be really surprised if he played the entire game. But, exposing him to that, just getting him some reps, and more just to, you know, throw him in and, hey, here's what it's going to look like, than probably really evaluate him a ton from it. You're going to look at it. You're going to coach him. But they probably smart that they were conservative with him. Man, you kind of wish he would have been back about 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
But the last thing you want is bring this guy back, and then because you knew he was injured when you drafted him, and you got him where you did, probably because of the injury, almost certainly because of the injury. So be cautious with it, and don't have something pop up where that entire rookie season's wiped out.
Brad, Matt Eberflus spoke at length on Tuesday about the possibility, the hypothetical, as he referred to it, of Yannick Ngakoue joining the Bears at some point. I know they're going to scour the waiver wire after cuts, but Ngakoue is still there. And Matt Eberflus said as much that they know the person, they like the player, but they also like the person, and that might give him an advantage. How, in terms of timing, how will that unfold, and what did you think of what was said?
Well, I don't know that Matt, those are your words, that would give Yannick an advantage, right? Not Matt's words.
Those are my words. That's the way I interpreted it.
Yeah,
I'm asking yours.
Yeah, he was, he spoke about Ngakoue because he got multiple questions about Ngakoue. Listen, if they bring Yannick Ngakoue in, it's going to have to be at an absolute fraction of the $10.5 million they paid him a year ago.
Right.
Like they paid full price and they didn't get what they should have in return. If they sign Yannick Ngakoue, I'm of the mindset that they've still got an edge rusher issue. Like if one of the 31 other teams out there thought that he could be a difference maker coming off the edge, he probably would be in camp with someone right now, right? He hasn't. If he re-signs with the Bears, it'll be the first time he's been with the same team in two seasons since he began his career in Jacksonville, 2016 to 2019. He's kind of been this, you know, traveling edge rusher since then. And that, you know, that I looked at it last year, like, well, wait a minute, why can't this guy stay in one place? So you got to see the price tag, but Mike, just based off what you saw from him last year, they bring him in, and I still think they've got edge rusher issues. That's my opinion.
What is your take on the kind of Twitter reaction to what's going on with Keenan Allen? You know, he's getting killed on Twitter. There's people out there claiming that he's washed, he's old, he's slow. Somebody's saying he's 10 pounds, 20 pounds overweight. I don't see it, but I don't see enough of him to be able to judge. I just figure he's a veteran guy who's been through the wars and he's getting ready for a season. What's your take on what you're seeing from him?
I kind of put stock in what I hear from people combined with what I see out there. And you talk to people about his ability to get open, right? You know, I don't put a lot of stock in that stuff that's out there. I would just venture to guess. I don't have the time or inclination to look into it, but that maybe a high percentage of people trafficking in this kind of stuff were about building around Justin Fields for the future with the Chicago Bears too. I don't know. There's a lot of lunacy out there in social media. But if this guy has suddenly lost it, okay, if he has, it's like an immediate drop off. It's like right. The guy whose career's going and going and going, and then it goes off the cliff. There isn't a tapering period where the guy kind of slows down because, you know, he was dynamic for the Chargers last year. You talk about having almost 1,250 yards in 13 games, 7 touchdowns, an absolute first down machine. He's been that throughout his career, accounting for a first down on nearly 60% of his receptions and averaging, I think it was a career high last year, guys, yeah. 96 yards a game. So I think at age 32, Keenan Allen knows exactly what he needs to do in late July, in mid-August, in early September to be ready to answer the bell.
Speaking of veterans who know how to get themselves ready, we made so much about Kevin Byard's durability that when he misses practice.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You have to wonder.
The first time he's ever missed practice. He's missed two now. What the hell's going on, Brad?
How concerned are the Bears?
They're not concerned. It's soft tissue issue for Kevin Byard. It doesn't sound like there's any fear that this is something that could linger long term. Now, if we get to week one and he's a DNP on the Wednesday practice before the Titans come into Soldier Field, we're going to change the tune there, and it's going to be a different story. But Kevin Byard, longtime Tennessee Titan, I'm willing to bet he will be more than ready to go to face his former team week one. What you want to see is Jaquan Brisker, who's been back out of practice this week and got some action in team period yesterday. You want to see him on the field and stay on the field. I think we talked about it earlier this week how, you know, he's a guy that if you go back and take a look at it, he's missed an awful lot of practice time in his going into year three here. He's been really good at times when he's on the field. They need him to stay out there now. Although that was one of the interesting things that, because I asked Byard about Brisker getting back out there in communication, and Byard kind of gave a unprompted shout out to Elijah Hicks that he didn't know a lot about him. In fact, he thought Hicks was undrafted. He was a 7th round pick when the Bears brought him in, but how well Hicks had played. So maybe expanded opportunities for some other guys has been beneficial in training camp for the Bears as well.
Always fun to hear from Montez Sweat. I think people are interested in what he has to say he talked about Austin Booker and called him late years ahead of where a rookie should be. Light years ahead of where a rookie should be. That is a very interesting comment. How good is Austin Booker? Has he been one of the stories of camp? And what role do you see him playing? Obviously, he's more of a rush specialist than a every down player. But how do you see him employed?
Well, I think he's going to be a situational guy to start the season. He's going to be in the rotation. You're going to see him. You're hopefully going to be seeing him in passing situations where they've got the sub packages on the field. He's interesting, high motor, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out for him, because I got an entire spectrum of sort of reviews on him going into the draft from a variety of people who have always been willing to be kind of candid when they talk about players, and some people loved him. The Bears obviously loved him. There are guys out there who've been really good, and they make a lot of sense when you talk to them, and they're right about a lot of things. Just wanted nothing to do with him. Like there was an entire spectrum. So I think he's been impressive. I don't know if I'd call him one of the stories of camp, but it's certainly been a really positive development to see not only how he's practiced, how he's performed on the field. You have kind of those unanswered questions. How is Booker going to fare when he's going against starting offensive tackles on Sundays when they're not playing on a Saturday, in preseason? But he's been good. I like his attitude. They think he's real coachable, and they think he's got a tremendous amount of room to grow because he hasn't had a ton of experience. I think he's only 21, mm-hmm. so he's young. The Bears are betting in a big way on the upside with Austin Booker.
I know you were riveted to Hard Knocks last night during the Matthew Judon
part of it. I actually watched it this morning.
Okay, this morning. Did you learn anything about the Judon situation you didn't know, and what were your impressions about the way Ryan Poles handled it?
No, that was basically how I understood it, that they just, they couldn't pull the trigger without having some certainty as to the contract situation. After what happened in New England, and some people reported that Judon had picked the Falcons over the Bears. Well, maybe it's part of the equation there is that Atlanta is probably in a position where if it feels like it has the right guy, and you question how right a 32-year-old is the guy. But the Falcons are desperate for pass rush help. Their last guy in double-digit sacks was Vic Beasley in 2016. They haven't been able to rush the passer in the longest time. The Bears probably aren't positioned to sink more huge money into that position with what they did with Montez Sweat. But, I think Brian Poles has proven before the Judon situation here that he's always going to explore every avenue, that he's not averse to trading future draft capital for proven NFL talent. And now we kind of wait and see, what the next maybe interesting possibility is for the Bears moving forward. I don't know, but I don't think there's another player at Judon's caliber that's being dangled by another team at this point.
All right, quickly, Brad, we'll let you go, but I'm just curious. We are on the eve of the last preseason game, and Tuesday is the cutdown date. Is there anybody that you're keeping a close eye on? David mentioned the punt returner. Is there any position that you're really focused on heading into this game?
I think they're thin at defensive tackle. Okay. And, so if somebody really steps up in this game, maybe they can solidify a spot for him. Otherwise, that's a position where I think that rotational guy at the back end might not be on the team right now. Zach Pickens is their third defensive tackle right now. He was their fourth guy last year, and last year he played about 25% of the snaps. Remember, they lost Justin Jones. He had 740-ish snaps last season. And so you're going to have Dexter play more. Pickens is going to have a bigger role. Who's going to be that fourth guy that's got to log, you know, 200 to 250 snaps during the season? I don't know that he's on the team, so I'd look there. And then I think you're looking for them to keep health, stay healthy, don't lose any core backups as you point toward week one.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs.